Hello and welcome back to Friends on 15. Today is July the 2nd, 2019, a terrific Tuesday, sunny here in Philadelphia, and we are coming to you live from the Friends Center, aka the Quaker Hub for Peace and Justice. I have here with me today our lovely co-host, Shakira Holloway.
Hey everyone.
You know she's in charge of our events and administrative duties and tasks. Also joining us is our executive director, Chris Moore.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hello. And
we have some special guests.
We do have some special guests.
Yes, we want to welcome Miss Melissa and Beth from the Fartu Foundation. Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So the Stockton Rush Bartle Foundation is one of the many fine nonprofit tenants here at Friends Center.
Welcome, 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 ladies. We're so happy to have you. I want to jump right in. I want to know just what's the Stockton Bartle Foundation about? What are you guys doing? What do you have going on? We know you hold so many events. You help your community. You have so many opportunities. Let us know.
So the Stockton Rush Bartle Foundation works at the intersection of arts, education, community, and philanthropy. And we do that through grants to arts education organizations that are community-based in the city of Philadelphia. And then we present free professional development programs for artists who teach.
So good old nonprofit work. And how long has the Bartle Foundation been around?
The Bartle Foundation was founded in 1984 by George Bartle, and he was the CEO of Hunt Manufacturing, which makes important things like X-Acto knives and Boston staplers and a lot of printmaking inks. And he was a businessman who thought that the arts were what distinguished Philadelphia from other areas, and it was a way to draw people here to live and to work, and he also just loved the arts and museums, and so he endowed the foundation in 1984.
Very nice. And what exactly do you do, Miss Beth, for with Bartle?
So I'm the executive director.
Executive director. Big stuff.
Fancy.
Well, you're going to talk to the whole staff of the foundation today.
Yeah.
not as big as it sounds, probably.
But you guys do big stuff. We have Miss Melissa here also. Miss Melissa, what do you do for Bartle?
Hi, I'm the administrator here at the Bartle Foundation.
Lovely. And how long have you been with them?
A year and a half.
Very nice. All right.
Can you guys just tell us a little bit about like what you take from working at the Bartle Foundation? Like, what are your goals as working with the people in the community or different things like that? Because I know Miss Melissa, I see you all the time. Like, you're coming back and forth in different workshops and everything. So what do you take from those workshops?
So in my role as an administrator here at Bartle Foundation, I am committed to supporting the mission and the vision of Bartle by ensuring that information goes out and that the information is correct. I do the setup of all the workshops, managing the calendar. We're just getting our grant letters out today prior to being here. So it's really exciting to be in the background supporting and creating a space for organizations, artists, and community to grow and continue to support and provide resources. And my commitment as an administrator is to do that in a qualitative way, in a loving and warm and welcoming way, so that people aren't starving artists and nonprofits don't function with a lack of, but that we begin to expand our knowledge of what resources are available, even if they're in kind and not cash. Like, people are resources.
Wow, well, well, wow. That was very, very informational and very well worded, if I do say so myself.
Thank you.
One thing I'm wondering is if the vibe we get from the workshops you have here at Friends Center is you're not just, you're feeding something, you mentioned starving artists, you're feeding something at the spiritual and emotional and social and psychological levels at the same time. Is that
I totally agree. Yeah. Absolutely. Because the people who come to our workshops are individual artists in their own right. And many of them have dual responsibilities, dual commitments, and they're passionate about the work that they do.
Right.
And they want to be able to share that with masses. So we create opportunities for collaborations through free teaching artist workshops. And most recently, within the past year, we've started a collaboration with Small But Mighty Arts to include funding for individual artists who are interested in doing projects to the tune of $5,000, which was 10 $500 grants to artists.
Nice. So when you say artists, is that like inclusive of like everyone? Is it just like painting or drawing, or does it go beyond that?
It is. We do fund various art mediums. Mm-hmm. So it could be visual, it could be poetry, it could be music, it could be dance.
Nice.
Yes, so it's very diverse. Okay.
So can we backtrack for a minute with these grants? You said you just had sent out some paperwork on grants. So people who were approved, somebody got some grants.
Yes.
Oh.
So we have announcements coming shortly for our 2019 granting.
And we have, so we have a grant side and we have a program side. So the grant side, we're about to make, I think it's 18 grants of $5,000 to $7,500 to arts education organizations.
Wow.
Who do in-depth, hands-on work in community settings where arts education programs may not be available, and they do them either in or out of school time. We've done programs for veterans, we've done programs for seniors, so it's not just kids. Then we have this other stream, which are we call micro grants, which are $500 grants to individual artists.
Yes.
Who are in the middle of a community arts education project and just need a little money to be able to move it forward or to finish the project.
Wow.
And those will happen, so the micro grants will happen late summer into the fall, and the organizational grants are being notified next week in July, and those have an annual deadline of May 1st. For people to apply as an organization for a grant.
So if a listener wants to find out who's getting a grant, how would they get that list?
Okay, well, you have to give us a minute. And then once everybody's been notified of our grants, you can go on our website, and there's a ton of information on our website, both about who's gotten grants, both the individuals and the organizations. And then as we start rolling out our workshop plans for the fall, that will be on our website as well, and you can always get on our newsletter, and that gets us all the information as well as our social media.
And our website is www.bartol.org. That's BARTOL.org.
You have a phone number?
Yes, our phone number is 267-519-5310. Call us.
Yeah, sounds good.
We also have a new program that we just rolled out last year for teaching artists, which is a 20-hour training in trauma-informed practice for teaching artists. We're working with another tenant here at the Friends Center, the Scattergood Foundation, and have developed a training for artists who are teaching in settings and communities where the young people have been impacted by trauma. And with funds from the William Penn Foundation, we piloted two classes this past year for 12 artists in each class.
How'd that go?
It was really life-changing for them, and I think for us, so many of them are working either in school settings or in juvenile justice, out-of-school programs, where they were seeing these behaviors with kids, mm-hmm. and doing their best to figure out how to serve them, but not understanding that there's a trauma science. I think what happens a lot of times is artists become teaching artists and educators without necessarily having that background of youth development or being trauma-informed or all these things, and they're so smart and they're so passionate, and they figure these things out. And then to be in a group, in a class, for, this is five Saturdays, where everybody's doing the same work, and then we're helping them put sort of language and understanding around what they do, has just been so powerful for them. And we just, last week here at the Friends Center, had our first dinner for everybody who's graduated from the class. So we had about 20 artists and our guest facilitators come to say, okay, well, now that you've done the training, how's it going? And what do you see? And what do you want us to teach next? And so our goal is we'll have two more classes in the fall, and to keep growing this learning community of teaching artists who are working at the intersection of arts and being trauma-informed.
Wow.
Now, you mentioned having various events here, the dinner, the trainings, and collaborating with another tenant. So what's it like being a tenant here at Friends Center?
So I'll just add, for me, I've been doing nonprofit for about 20 years, and this is the most welcoming site I believe I've ever worked in.
Yay. Yay. No Friends Center.
You got windows! My career was not with windows.
Yeah.
So the lighting is great. The staff is amazing, very welcoming, and I can say what I need and I don't have to feel uncomfortable or ashamed to ask. Like, I feel like that's awesome. You guys go overboard to accommodate us. So that feels empowering.
Oh, we're so happy to have you here.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to just go back to what Beth was saying about trauma. I really think that's amazing, because I think people kind of put trauma in the inner city communities on the back end, and they don't really take it into consideration, or they don't take it as something as a big deal. And sometimes they don't even see these young kids or adults or teenagers as having trauma. They only look at it in one way and think that it's like one face to trauma or one kind of thing to trauma. And It's just amazing that you guys are touching in on that subject.
Yeah.
Which is very important. It's important to me, and I'm sure it's important to a lot of people, especially dealing with people who you know personally who has experienced trauma. In a way that people would never even think of. And watching people grow up to be adults and have the same trauma, and never had a chance to even have someone say, hey, look, you experienced something that really changed your life, and we want to help you. And I think that's amazing. So kudos to y'all for that.
And what's really challenging for teaching artists is they do what we call midstreaming, right? So they're going to go into a classroom or a juvenile justice center, and maybe they are there for 10 times or 50 times or 3 times. And so the fact is, they don't usually know what happened to the students before they came into this class. They're not going to know what happens when they leave. And so it turns out that if I'm in a classroom of 30 kids and I actually don't know who's impacted by trauma or not, and I'm not going to know. I'm not a therapist. I'm just in doing a theater class.
Right.
It turns out that practice that is good for kids who are impacted by trauma is actually good for everybody.
Yes.
So this way of teaching, which includes a lot of ritual and different levels of participation and how you build trust and how you affirm an effort and not just the end product, all of those things are just good teaching. So without even knowing or naming, like, oh, you four kids are trauma impacted and you aren't, it doesn't really matter. You're just doing good teaching, and that's what's really beautiful about it.
And at the same time, it seems like the arts are such a great way for people to help work through their trauma experiences, to heal from them and move forward.
It really, the arts creates a neutral zone for a point of entry for all involved. And I think that's the thing that really helps us to be impactful in ways that other organizations may not be.
Yeah.
And the real challenge is also the fact that what we're trying to do for this, for people in this training, is that these things do come up. So if kids are writing, and we never assume this is autobiographical unless you tell me it is.
Mm-hmm.
But if things start to come up, the artist has to be equipped
to
know how to support you in your art making, because I'm not a therapist.
Exactly. Right.
So how do I support you? How do I see what you're telling me, and how do I honor that? And then how do I both find other people who are more equipped if I'm seeing something through your art that needs more support than I can give as an artist?
Right.
And then looking at vicarious trauma. So for artists that are working in these difficult situations all the time and taking in all the trauma from their students, how do they keep themselves safe and centered and not burn out from the work? So there's so many layers to this. We're really just starting to figure it out. And there's a lot of demand in Philadelphia and nationally and even internationally for us to figure out how to scale this up and try and reach more people. And it's only the first year, so
right.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, this is great. Are you guys looking possibly for additional help or support, maybe through interns, or can people volunteer to help with any, you know, resources that they may have to offer?
One of the things that we're trying to figure out is how we create this learning community,
mm-hmm.
Where as people go through the training, they continue to meet and learn more and talk. So we're always interested in where we can connect. We're also really interested, we presented and are going to continue to present, not just at arts conferences,
mm-hmm.
but we're going to be presenting at Jefferson Medical School's third trauma conference in July.
Wow.
Because it's also really important that people see artists as another strategy for working with people impacted by trauma. And so it really feeds into our mission of how do we work at this intersection of sort of arts, education, community, philanthropy, and the same way that the Friends Center kind of gets everybody to cross silos of how we work and in what areas we work. And finding our behavioral health partner in the next cubicle in our workspace here has been really valuable to us.
Well, this may be then a time to mention you're listening to the Friends on 15th podcast from the Friends Center, the Quaker Hub for Peace and Justice in Philadelphia, your spot for nonprofit offices as well as events for a wide range of community activities. FriendsCenterCorp.org is our website. Our number is 215-241-7100. I'm Chris Moore, Executive Director, with my colleagues Jennifer
Hello.
And Shakira. And we're interviewing Beth Feldman Brandt and Melissa Tally Palmer from the Stockton Rush Bartol Foundation. Glad to hear more about this great work that's happening within our walls.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. And I guess I should add that, you know, another little plug is that my partner and I also got married here at the Friends Center.
Yay!
It was beautiful.
And we had a really beautiful wedding, and it felt like we were getting married in our house because everybody here was part of our family. So we're grateful for that, too.
And we are grateful that you decided to have your wedding here and grateful for all the wonderful pictures that you let us use. They were great.
Shakira, how can people get space for an event here?
If you are an outside group, not a tenant, you can email me, call me. Just visit our website, friendscentercorp.org. My name, email, and phone number is up on the website. I am happy to work with you all and work through anything that you need. We have some amazing space here with groups such as Barksu who are doing amazing things. So feel free to reach out to me. And if you are a tenant, you know how to reach me. You know where I sit. So just come down, talk to me. Don't be afraid, as Ms. Melissa said. We will not make you feel uncomfortable if you need something last minute, people. Or if you're planning an event in the future. But just feel free to come down to either me, you can come down to Jennifer. We are glad to help you, and we are always excited to have you guys here.
Yes.
I have a quick question. How many rooms do you have in this space?
About 10.
Okay. Maximum capacity?
So, it depends on the space. The most popular rooms are the Rufus Jones Room, of course, Martin Luther King Jr. Room, and the Cherry Street Room. And, of course, our meeting house. which holds about 650 people. So if you are having like a wedding ceremony, graduations, anything of that sort, we like encourage you to reach out to us. We want to have you here. We want to, you know, help you make your event something really special and nice.
Wonderful. Thank you for that information, Shakira. Thank you for that information, Chris. But before we let you go, ladies, I just wanted to know, where can people go to lend support to your work? Just one more time, just let the people know where they can find you and how they can lend a hand, because you guys are just doing such amazing work. And I know people are interested in just being a part of that, just being a part of a community where you're reaching so many people and geared towards so much positivity. How can people reach out to you and support that?
So we start our free teaching artist workshops in the fall. So September through April primary is when you can sign up for free teaching artist workshops. Mm-hmm. When you go to the website, bartoll.org, bartoll.org, you'll be able to sign up for the newsletter, which we send out at least once or twice a month. That keeps you informed of what's coming up. We also will be identifying what those workshops will be based on our teaching artist survey. If you have not taken our teaching artist survey, feel free to go on our website and do that. In addition,
you can follow us on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Check us out, follow along, and become part of our community.
Wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
And I would just like to say they are our first very special, very deserving candidates of our podcast, Friends on 15th. And we are just so happy to have you here. And we're not just saying that because you're our tenants. We are very excited about the work that you do, the people that you are, and what you bring to our building. We're so happy to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, as most of you probably know, we're coming to you straight from Friends Center, located in the heart of Philly at 1501 Cherry Street in Center City. Just a few quick reminders before we go. Every Wednesday, we invite you to join some friends from 1230 to 1 for a meeting for worship, midweek meeting for worship. Also, Sunday meeting for worship, 11 a.m., following after that will be coffee hour from 12 to 2. Lastly, we invite you to visit our Quaker Library. It's open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from noon to 6 p.m. We hope that you enjoyed yourselves. Thanks again to our special guests, Beth and Miss Melissa. We look forward to having you tune in again. And until next time, I leave you with these few words from Sir William Penn. Time is what we want most, but we use worst. Please think about that quote. All of the things that we mentioned about teaching artists and just art itself, you might want to use some of that spare time to let go of some things in your art. So be mindful of how you're using your time and your energy.
Yes.
Amen.
Dance. Wow. All right. Color.
Play.
Play. Yes. Thank you all for joining in, and I am Jennifer Lee. I'll see you next time.
And I'm Chris. Bye-bye.
Shakira, see y'all.